And they do a wonderful job on the prelude. You can give them a hand this morning. Thank you, ladies, very much. Welcome to the Lord's Day and to His house. We welcome each one who's joining us on Facebook this morning. Would you please stand with me? Let's ask His blessing upon this, His service. We'll remain standing for the first song as we lift our voice in praise this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, this is the day that You've made, and Your Holy Spirit has brought us to this place again, once again to tune our ears and turn our eyes and open our hearts to You. In these moments that lie before us, we would ask that Your Holy Spirit would come and visit each one of us, would speak to us, and in the process of only what You can do, God, that's drawing us closer to Christ and making us more like Jesus. Father, we give You full right to do that this morning in anticipation that we will be blessed immeasurably more than what we could ever think or hope for as You, Lord Jesus, work to perfect in us the reality of Jesus. So God, whatever needs to transpire, we invite You to do that, that we would leave this place more like Jesus than when we came into this place. That's what we pray this morning, and we'll be mindful to give You all honor, glory, and praise, for You are worthy of it. In Christ's name we pray these things, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's sing together, Blessed Assurance. Sing this morning as we lift together, count your blessings. take a few moments right now and just spin around and extend a wave to one another there as we wave to each person out on Facebook this morning.
Announcements. It's that time of year again, so we have a save a date on here for June 24. We're doing a congregational meeting at 7 o'clock. The budgets are in the back, so you can look them over for 2 weeks. And we're also going to be voting on extending the pastor's call. Well, interim explains it. So if you got any questions, see me. I can explain it more in details. Also, there are cards back there for signing for the shut-ins. And we'll put the calendars back there because I've sent them to you all in email, and because we're kind of loosening things up, I figured if you want them, you can pick them up back there. And the budget's there, as I said. And that's about it, other than I have a special presentation for our pastor.
Thank you.
This year, the council met, and we talked about giving him a raise because he's been... because he hasn't got one since he started here. But we really felt with the way the giving is right now, we couldn't do it, but we wanted to give him a token of our appreciation. So that is to him and his wife. So with that, I'll turn it over to...
Thank you. My goodness, what a surprise. Appreciate it. Y'all won't mind if I send this to the proper place, correct?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a reminder that we have prayer after church downstairs in the prayer room. And if you can't deal with the stairs, we can meet in the back of the church after church. And then we'll go downstairs. So are there any prayer concerns or praises this morning? Ken? Okay, we'll pray for the heat, for the excessive heat that people are having to deal with, and fighting the heat in our homes and on the road. And what's his name? Gary. He fell down the stairs, and it's her cousin's relative. He fell down the stairs, and he has compound fractures. He's got a brain injury, and they can't stop the bleeding. So pray for Gary, right? Go ahead, Sharon. Okay. Continue praying for those with COVID. Even those that are vaccinated are getting it. And there's a lot of people suffering from colds right now and allergies. He wants to give praise for everything he has and for everything God is doing for him. And that goes for all of us, I guess. Bob? Pray for Bob. He had his blood sugar went low this morning, and he had a really rough time. So continue praying for him. Any other... prayer requests or praises? I'd like to pray for the students. This is their last week for a lot of them, or most of them. And pray for the bus drivers, and especially the last day. I drove those buses. I know what the last day can be like. just pray that the students won't trash the buses, so for the bus drivers to be able to just go home and enjoy their summer. Sharon? Sharon's grandson, Nick, graduated. He has special needs, and he graduated from fifth grade, so congratulations. Okay, thank you very much.
Let's prepare our hearts for prayer this morning as we sing together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
We come before you, and we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done in our lives. We thank you for everything you've taught us and everything you're going to do in our lives. We thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for birthing prayer in us and then answering those prayers. Lord, we thank you for healing us, for healing our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our emotions, and our bodies. We thank you especially, Lord, for healing Gary and his wife as they deal with his falling down the stairs. We thank you for blessing Sydney and continuing to heal her. We thank you that Pat Renkema is back with us this morning, and we ask you to continue blessing and healing Marv. And Lord, we praise you, and we ask you to bring us back to the heart of worship, Lord. Lord, we ask you to just accept. Let our praises and our worship rise up to you as a sweet aroma in your nostrils. Lord, we ask you to accept that praise from us, a gift of our love to you. And Lord, we pray your names back to you in a mode of worship, Lord. You are my God, my King, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Master, and my Lord, my Protector, my Provider, my Healer, my Teacher, and my Guide. Lord, you prove every minute of every day how much you love us. So fill us with that love. Wrap your loving arms around us, Lord. Help us to feel your love. We love because you first loved us, Lord. And we look up to you and reach up to you as you reach down to us, and we take your hand and we give our lives to you. We surrender everything to you, Lord, gladly and willingly. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every person that's suffering from any sickness or illness. We ask you to especially bless Bob and heal his eyes and help him to keep his sugar regulated so he doesn't have any more episodes. We ask you to continue blessing those with COVID, Lord, and protecting those that are not sick right now, Lord. Place an extra hedge of protection around them, Lord. And we ask you to heal and bless those with allergies. Lord, it's a very hard time for children in school. There's so much going on that they're being taught that is not of you. So, Lord, help us to teach them at home what is true and what is right. And, Lord, we just come against that spirit of socialism. We come against that woke culture. We come against that cancel culture. We come against critical race theory and religious persecution. And Lord, we come against that spirit of gender dysphoria and all that's being taught to our children about messing with their gender and who they are and who they were born to be, Lord. We ask you to bless Israel. And Father, we ask you to put it on the hearts of those in Congress to support our greatest ally. And Lord, we know how important it is for our country to support Israel. You bless those who bless your chosen people. So help us to move back as a country into supporting your people. Lord, we also ask that you bless the businesses in this area. Our economy is improving tremendously, and we just pray for those businesses that took a hard hit through the last year because of COVID and the shutdown. And Lord, we just ask you for people to come forward and to go back to work. We ask you to help them to get the employees they need. We ask you to bless all those that will be traveling and that don't have air conditioning or can't afford to even run their air conditioning. We just ask you to bless the weather and cut back on the heat, or at least give us the protection of your clouds, Lord. And we pray for rain. Again, Lord, you are the Lord of the harvest. So, Lord, bless your earth. Bless and refresh us. Bless the farmers. And just end the drought throughout the United States, Lord. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I want to remind you, too, in your giving, if you would simply place your tithes and offerings in that little receptacle in the back of that little red box, and our deacons will make sure that that is taken care of and you will be credited accordingly. And I want to let you know that something actually works, Larry. The mail still works if you mail a check to the church. Because I forgot my tithe check last week. Can you believe that, huh? One of the deacons asked me, did you get your tithe check, Pastor? Uh-oh. Monday morning, I filled that thing out, put it in the mail, and I found out that it made it here. So those of you who are watching on Facebook, the mail does work. You can make your check out to the church, send it right here, 8374 First Avenue, West Olive, Michigan, 4960, and it will get here, or you may like the PayPal on our website. Just click the PayPal and give accordingly, and we want to thank you right now for your faithfulness in giving to the advancement of God's kingdom here in this place. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. For our children's message this morning, we are continuing the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. The words of Jesus are these. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I don't know about you, but I desire to see God. You want to see God? Huh? Not only here, but I want to see Jesus face to face and be with him someday forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's a good thing. Eugene Peterson writes this in The Message. He says, as he paraphrases these words, he said, "You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world." Oh, could we just strive for that? Could we make sure that our mind is right with God? Could we make sure that our heart is right with God? Because there's a great blessing when our minds are fixed on the Lord, when our hearts are open to God. Guess what? We're going to see the reality of Jesus in our world, out where we live. Even in all that is transpiring, our minds are right, our hearts are right. Wow, we get to see Jesus. That's good stuff, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord this morning as we stand together and sing this great song, "How Great Thou Art."
Thank you.
God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, loved ones, we are going to be in for an interesting time starting today and moving forward as we find ourselves looking into the book of Revelation. And so I hope this encourages you. I hope it blesses you. I hope it stirs you. I hope it causes you to have all kinds of questions that you're going to be asking the Holy Spirit to clarify in your heart and your life. And I just want to let you know, I don't know how to dot all the I's or cross all the T's, all right? I'm going to be God's spokesman. The Holy Spirit's going to have to take care of the rest of that stuff. But if our hearts are open to Him and our minds are fixed on Him and our eyes are looking to Him, God will take care of what God needs to take care of. Amen? All right, good deal. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and who has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Pray with me, church. Lord Jesus, in these next few moments, we are going to embark upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father God, may the Holy Spirit of God guide and direct us in these things as we proclaim the prophecy. Lord, as you stir us, as you challenge us, as questions come to mind, as yearnings come to our heart, Father, facilitate all those things. Meet us where we stand in need of, and give us a clear understanding of the things that you showed to John and how you revealed yourself to him. And allow us, Father, to make that applicable in our lives where we are this day, in our world with all that is transpiring. Bring truth to us, eternal truth to us, that we would be prepared, that we would be equipped to stand and stand firm amidst all of the deception and the lies and the confusion and the noise. I'm going to go as far as just saying the satanic noise that's in our world today. And there's a lot of it. Help us to be firmly planted and established upon the rock who is Jesus Christ. For what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives, we give you praise now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Just a couple, three specific points as an introductory note to this message, and then we'll launch upon just six specific items that John records for us in those first eight verses. First of all, here's what I know, loved one. Here's what I know. Jesus is here with us, and he's not going to leave us. Huh? That's good stuff, isn't it? The story ends, his story that we're living, it ends with faithful followers of Jesus being with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's what I know. That's good news, is it not? I hope you know that as well. The uncharted pathway is now right here where we are today, where God has brought us. That's the uncharted pathway moving forward until the day that we see Jesus. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow? Anybody here? Wise beyond their years? I didn't think so. Okay? We don't know. Oh, there's a lot of speculation out there of what's going to transpire and how it's going to transpire. Let me remind you that nobody knows the hour of the day that Jesus is going to come and get his people. God just says, be ready, all right? Be ready, okay? And so that's where we need to be. But this is what I know. This is what I know, the words of Jesus. He says, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And I challenge you this morning, church, who are you listening to? We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit of God, don't we? He's going to tell us everything that's going to come our way. So that's what I know today. That's good. That's some good news. As I was preparing for this message, I ran across an introductory note to this text, and it was written by Nikki Imperato. I hope I got the name right. Nikki Imperato, all right? It was written back in January of 2021. So there's the context upon which these words were written. They're powerful, and they'll stir us. So get ready. She writes, rest in the fact there is but one King and one Savior. Rest in the fact that there is one King and one Savior. His name is not, what's this? Donald Trump. His name is not Joe Biden. And where we live in our day, now I could probably add three or four more to those, okay? Just saying. She goes on to say, his name is Jesus Christ. Put your trust and hope not in men who are in need of a Savior, but in the Savior himself, who is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Revelation 1:5. He is the Most High, who rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets it over the lowliest of men. Daniel 4:17. Continuing, may we turn from our wicked, idolatrous ways and seek the Lord's mercy. May the Lord be kind in raising up godly men who powerfully and boldly preach Christ, not 8 tips on being a better father each Lord's day. May the clear proclamation of the gospel so change its hearers that we cease electing godless individuals to rule over us who have no fear of Christ in their heart. May we heed the message of the prophets, repent and seek refuge in the Lord's free gift of grace while it can still be found or perish. To that, I went, whoa. One other thing, loved one, is an introductory note. In the days and weeks before us, we're going to find ourselves working through this beautiful book of Revelation, all right? A lot of bends, a lot of turns, a lot of wonderful things in here. Here's my advice to you as your pastor. First of all, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's eternal truth to you. Lord, give me your truth. Show me your truth. Second of all, I encourage you, I plead with you, repent of any sinfulness which the Holy Spirit uncovers in your life, whatever it may be. God puts his finger on it. It's wrong. Ask God to forgive you and turn away from it, all right? Thirdly, I strongly suggest and I plead with you, press into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Press into a deeper relationship with Christ. And the last thing is this, be prepared for Christ's return. Be prepared for Christ's return. You all right with that this morning? Everybody okay? Everybody still breathing? All right? Okay? You've got your outline with you, pencil, just some good listening ears. Here we go, talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. How do you like the title this morning? Revelation number one. All right? I'm not going to dream up any fancy titles. Each submission is just going to be number one, number two, number three, number four, and we're just going to continue on. Okay? Here's the first thing that's in the text. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I like that little caption there. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. The revealing of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. That's verse one of our text. Revelation is defined as the following. It's God's unveiling of himself and his will to his creation. He's unveiling himself. He's showing us who he is and what is going to transpire. Revelation is something that contains such disclosure as the Bible. This is the revelation, all right? The revealing of God's kingdom. It's also called the revelation of St. John the Divine, the last book in the New Testament. It's also noted as the Apocalypse. When I say the word apocalypse, what comes to mind? Talk to me this morning. When I say the word apocalypse, what picture comes to mind? The end. Why? There's some awesome stuff that transpires in this thing. All right. Is it scary? Let me let you in on something. Perfect love casts out all fear. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's where we need to be, folks. All right? Just saying. In verse 5, this revelation is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And then Jesus goes on to proclaim to John there in that first chapter in verse 8, saying that I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This thing is all about the unveiling of Jesus, the reality of who he is. All right? That's the first thing we learned. Second of all this morning, Milt, if you would please, next slide. We have an eyewitness to this account. We have an eyewitness. He's the Apostle John. I don't know about you, but if I want to receive story from somebody, I want an eyewitness. I want somebody whose heart's right, whose mind's right, who's keen on all the facts. I want somebody who is truthful, honest, and that's the person that I want communicating to me about what's going on. I have not found one person in our world today, out in the world, and I'm talking in the media, whatever it may be, we're just not getting truth in our world today. Huh? And so we get bombarded with this garbage all week long. And on Sunday morning for an hour and 15 minutes, the Holy Spirit has got to work like crazy to untangle what we've been tangled in all week long. I don't know about you, but I think we ought to give God praise for willingness to come and untangle us on Sunday morning. And I think we need to pray more and ask God to put a fortitude in us to not get tangled up during the week and all of the tangles that's going on. Amen? Huh? Just saying. So we have an eyewitness in this thing. He's John, the Apostle John. Verses 1 and 2. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Verse 2, who testifies to everything he saw. And then it goes on to say, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It was John who saw the word of God manifested in human form, manifested in the person of Jesus. John physically saw him on earth. And furthermore, he goes on to say that John saw the testimony of Jesus Christ. He saw the reality of God the Father and the kingdom of God manifested in the person of Jesus Christ and fulfilled according to God's will and God's plan while Jesus walked the earth. John saw that. I don't know about you, but that sounds like an eyewitness to me. And that sounds like a faithful witness to me. And I got to believe that we can take to heart what John is trying to tell us here in this text. And not only at the beginning here, but as we move into the letters of the churches, we hear the words of Christ to the church. But then when John begins to see the marvelous unveiling of what the kingdom of God is all about and how this thing is going to wind up. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we've got an eyewitness to communicate to us the reality of this thing. God help us to take it to heart as the Lord sends it our way. In John chapter 13, verses 22 through 25, back in the gospel, this is the same John that is talking to us now. All right. He records this in his gospel. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John indeed, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. And leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Here Jesus is with his disciples. They're assembled together, getting ready to eat the Last Supper before Jesus is arrested and beaten and ultimately crucified on the cross, dead and buried and put in the grave. All right? Judas is about ready to betray Jesus. Jesus has identified one of the 12 whom will, not personally, he's proclaimed that one of the 12 is going to betray him, and now they're all asking questions. Who is it? Who's it going to be? Peter says, hey, John, you're right there next to Jesus. Why don't you ask Jesus what's going on? And John, watch this, John leans back against Jesus. They reclined at the meal. That was their custom. So John leans back. Watch this. This always has marveled me. John leans back. Watch this. And John hears the eternal heartbeat of God. Right there. I don't know about you, that's a pretty good eyewitness. I'll take that to the bank. I'm just saying, okay? John, eyewitness, proclaiming the truth of God for us. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus saw his mother there, now Christ is dying on the cross. Jesus' mother is there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, that's John. He said to his mother, dear woman, here's your son. To the disciple, here's your mother. And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. John is there witnessing the fulfillment of God the Father's plan. Jesus, who told him, who told John that he would die, that he would be crucified, is now seeing the fulfillment of that testimony. And now Jesus places his earthly mother's mother into the care of the disciple whom the Bible says he loved. John chapter 20, verse 8. Finally, the Bible says the other disciple, that's John, who had reached the tomb first, John being a little bit younger than what old man Peter was, okay? John outran Peter to the tomb and stood outside while Peter's huffing and puffing and comes up to the tomb and then goes into the tomb, all right? That's the reality of what was going on there. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and the Bible says John saw, John believed. John saw the Word of God. John saw and witnessed the reality of Jesus' testimony. John is exiled now on the island of Patmos for the cause of Christ. And now John is recording for generations to come the reality of what Jesus revealed to him, the things that are true about Christ, and the reality of what the kingdom of God is going to be about, and the ultimate fulfillment of the kingdom of God. John was an eyewitness. We have that eyewitness who is communicating to us. We can take it to heart. We can take it to the bank. It is true. It's undeniable. And there's where we as Christ followers need to stand. Amen? Talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we have some revelation blessings in this thing. Verse 3. Blessed is the one, watch this, who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it. Boy, these early verses of the revelation of Jesus Christ are pretty simple. They're pretty straightforward, all right? As we move through this thing, we're really going to need the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding of the pictures, the word pictures that John gives to us. But right now, it's pretty straightforward. It's good proclamation. It's good preaching material. It's easy to follow. It's practical. There are blessings in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it is these. He says, those who read the words of this prophecy, read the words of this revelation, are going to be blessed. Those who hear it are going to be blessed. And those who take it to heart what is written in this revelation are going to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I like to be blessed by the Lord. Do you like to be blessed by the Lord? Huh? And it's really a practical proclamation. John piggybacks the reality of what James wrote to us in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. What's this? This is how I just love how God's word, it just intertwines and connects together. It's all one masterpiece of the reality of who Jesus is and what his kingdom is all about. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Another encouragement for us, loved one, as we move through this beautiful thing, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is to read it, is to proclaim it, is to hear it, is to take it to heart and make it applicable. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives in this thing and prepare us for what God has planned for us. If we do that, we will certainly be blessed. Number next this morning, the fourth point is this. The message, this revelation of Jesus Christ is indeed for the church. It is for the church. And as we move forward, there are seven individual letters that are written to those churches right there. To Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea. And Jesus is going through and he's speaking specifically to each church. But watch this. You put those seven together and it's really a whole proclamation to the church to get them ready for their groom. Get the church ready for its groom. And the words, while written so many years ago, find themselves true today. For we are still in the church age, all right, but we are winding down quickly in the church age. And when God determines that the church age is done, Jesus is going to come back to get his church. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on that train, all right? Huh? Hence the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, John writes, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, that is Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Be reminded of what Jesus thought about the church. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. I think we need to ask ourselves, as God's church, is there anything going on in our lives? Is there anything going on within this body of believers that would cause us to have stain or to have wrinkle or any other blemish? If there is, it needs to be eradicated. As the Holy Spirit puts his finger upon those things, it needs to be eradicated. It has no part in the kingdom of God. If the Holy Spirit says, you don't need this or this is wrong, we need to do something about it, church. Because Jesus' church is radiant, without stain, without wrinkle, without blemish. It is holy and blameless. And the only way it gets that way is to be totally consumed by Jesus Christ. I didn't write the book. Huh? So this message, this revelation of Jesus Christ is to his church. You all right this morning? Hanging in there? Number five is this. It's a reminder, this revelation of Jesus Christ, it's a reminder of what Jesus has accomplished. I want you to look at that pictorial diagram there, okay? You notice that Jesus Christ is right in the middle of all that, okay? I want you to look at that wonderful thing right there, and I want you to find a word that really resonates with you other than Jesus Christ, because he's the giver of all of those things. Just take a second, and I want you to look at that thing, okay? Everybody got a word on there? You find something that really resonates with you? Yes? Everybody got? Give me permission to go on. You all set? Okay? On the word three, I want you to shout that word out, okay? Whatever that may be, okay? One, two, three. Okay, I want you to say it again. One, two, three. What you've just heard is a reality of the kingdom of God and what heaven's going to be like. What you've heard is that Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of all mankind, has touched every individual in a specific way. In a way whereby lives are transformed and become more like Christ himself. While we are all individuals, What's this? Why we are all individuals and different one from another, we have all been, what's this, created in the very image of God. God has breathed into his creation, that's you and me, his breath, and we became a living soul. Unfortunately, we've been tainted by sin, and that sin breaks a relationship with God. But God, in his divine plan, put Jesus in that plan, sent Jesus to earth to die for you and me, so that we could have a pathway back, provide a pathway back for us, having our sins cleansed. We could find a pathway back to Christ so that we could be with God the Father forever and ever, amen. And what you heard in those words that you proclaimed is the reality of Jesus doing that in individuals' hearts and lives to make them one in Jesus. That's what the revelation of Christ is all about. Isn't that good stuff? Huh? And while we are all different as individuals, it is Jesus Christ, by what he's accomplished, makes us one in him. Wow. To him, what's this? Verses 5 and 6. To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. That's how John puts it. God's tremendous love for us, who provided a way whereby we could have our sins washed away by his blood because of what Christ has done, so that we could be a part of his eternal kingdom forever and ever and ever. Amen. Wow. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you encouraged so far? I'm glad, Larry, that early on it's easy to preach. I'm going to be scratching my head, I think, before it's all said and done, okay? Lord Jesus, keep this old preacher on track, all right? And keep him in the truth. All right, the revelation of Jesus Christ is this great, wonderful reminder. Number 6, we're down to number 6 already. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon, and I like that proclamation. Ready or not, I'm coming back. He has given us every warning, every direction, everything that we need to know in his word. We'd better be about proclaiming his word. We better be about reading his word. We better be about listening to his word. And we'd better be about being obedient to his word. Because it's his word that's going to give us the direction and the assurance that we need to be with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when he comes back. Huh? John says in verse 3, the time is near. The time, loved one, is nearer than it's ever been before. With everything transpiring and rolling around out there, and I know there's been a lot of proclamation, there's been a lot of speculation of this, that, and the other thing. I'll tell you what, I'm just kind of pushing stuff aside. There's some folks saying some things out there that make me laugh. I'm going, really? You've got to be kidding. All right? Really? I want to find myself coming back to the truth and God's word and the Holy Spirit guiding and directing me. And when God the Father says, Jesus, it's time to get your people, I want to be on the receiving end of that thing. Man, I just had a cartoon that went through my mind. Help me out, honey. Opie and Andy Griffith. Remember? I read that to you. We're the welcoming committee, right? Or we're the receiving committee. Okay, here it is. Opie and Andy Griffith. Anybody ever watch Mayberry Art or the Andy Griffith show? You know what I'm talking about. Andy's there and Opie's there. Hey, Pa. When's Jesus coming back? And he responds, I don't know, Ope. We're not the planning committee. We're the welcoming committee. Huh? Yes! We're not the planning committee. We're the welcoming committee. When God the Father says it's time, it's going to be time, but the time is soon, and we need to be ready. We're the welcoming committee when Jesus returns. Verse 7, John says, look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. He's going to come back the same way he left. That's what the angel said to the men of Galilee, all right? Even those who pierced him and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. And all of God's people said, amen. Revelation number one for us. I'm going to wind this thing up this way. As we move forward, loved one, proclaiming the revelation of Jesus Christ, we together as God's people next week, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate communion, and I just want to let you know two things. One, we are going to celebrate that, but number two, we're going to do it at the front end of the service, okay? It's not going to be the tail end of the service, it's going to be the front end of the service. So just an FYI there. Second of all, as we move forward proclaiming the revelation of Jesus Christ, we are going to see in God's words, first of all, the things that John saw. We're going to see the things that John saw. We're going to see the things that exist now, yet in our time. And we're going to see the things that will take place later. That is the outline of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The things that John saw, the things that exist now, the things that will take place. What I believe, loved one, is this. I believe the Holy Spirit of God will open His truth for guiding us from our present time, right now, through that time that is before us, which none of us know anything about, that gap that's before us, and will ultimately bring us to that time when we have the privilege to meet Jesus. It's going to be an interesting time. And I hope you're encouraged by that, and I hope our folks that are watching on Facebook are encouraged by this. I want you to do a few things. Those of you that get this on a Facebook feed, share that thing. Those of you who are watching on Facebook right now, share this thing. I'm hoping and praying that God's truth will get out to thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people so that the Holy Spirit will have an opportunity to stir them and ready them. So God's people are ready for what is happening and ready for what's coming their way and ready ultimately to meet Jesus. Amen? And not to put the cart before the horse, not to try to get all excited, but I found out this truth. You find yourself being able to be faithful to God in the things that He shared with you and to be a positive encouragement and a witness and a blessing to those around you if you will trust God and simply walk with Him day by day. Amen? Not getting way ahead, not getting off to the left or the right, not falling behind, but just walk with Him day by day by day, because doing that ultimately will end in you meeting Him one day forever and ever and ever. Amen. To that end, would you please stand with me, church, and let's sing together that song, Day by Day. be so. Amen? Just a side note, thank you, church family. Thank you for your prayers and your encouragement, your loving, your blessings. Thank you for the privilege that you grant me each week to come and say something good about Jesus, for watching over Robin and I and caring for us in these years that have gone by and as we anticipate the years before us. Just excited about walking with you through the ups, the downs, or as I call them, the highs and the lows and the plateaus of the reality of life, and someday to be with you in heaven forever and ever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, these are your blessed people. Father, the truth that you've permitted us to proclaim this day, I pray, would, through the Holy Spirit's presence, be planted deep in our hearts and our lives as we embark upon the revelation of Jesus Christ and the days that are before us. Fit them all together, Lord, and enable us to be faithful moment by moment, day by day, as we rejoice in who you are, the Word of God, and the power of your testimony. And may these things enable us to find ourselves in a time when we look into your face and we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation." May it be so, I pray. Now, Father, dismiss these, your precious ones, with your blessing of benediction and love upon their hearts and their lives. May the world see the reality of Christ in them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. You are dismissed.